Coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, Dennis DeYoung will be with us talking about his new single in which he takes on cable news and people who just want to tell us things because it's helping them specifically, no one else. This is a man who's never done that. Bob Costas joins us right now, sports broadcasting legend. And Bob, I want to ask you, because yesterday Dr. Fauci came out and said he did not think that there was going to be football in the fall. He didn't see how that was going to be possible. And I started to wonder, what would that be like? What, after our entire lives have been about football in the fall in the American culture? And as a great essayist, I was wondering your thoughts on how we would get by without that.
Well, we're learning how we can get by without baseball and how we might have to get by without a completed basketball or hockey season. But I'll grant you this, that over the last 20 years or more, football has been the American sporting obsession. And because of the gambling, because of the fantasy leagues, because of its omnipresence, even when games aren't on, all the cable networks that cover sports realize that a focus on football disproportionate to other sports is really where their bread is buttered most of the time. So it's kind of a presence in the fall and well into the winter, well into February. So that will take some getting used to, if in fact there is no football. But when you think about it, while every league should have some sort of plan going forward, a best case scenario plan and contingency plans if and when things go off the rails, football might face the greatest problem. You can't social isolate playing basketball either, but they hope to get this thing done in a very condensed period of time in a single place in Orlando. They have a plan. They just have to play a few regular season games, then go right into a postseason without travel, so they can get it done in an effective fashion. I don't know how you can play football. John Harbaugh, the very sensible coach of the Baltimore Ravens, said recently, look, we can do everything in our meetings. We can social distance in the meetings. We can reconfigure the locker rooms and the showers and everything else. But how are you going to play a game without people breathing heavily on each other, without people barking out signals on both sides of the line, without people sweating and bleeding on one another? How's that going to work? And when you think about college football, what if there aren't, in many cases, students on campus? These people aren't paid, at least not outwardly. They're not paid. They have no union. They have no pension. They have no protection. Under these circumstances, does it feel right to play college football, perhaps with nobody in the stands? That isn't the whole, at least in theory, reason why you're playing college football, is that it's a campus experience rather than a gigantic business enterprise. Wouldn't that make even the most obsessed college football fans wonder about the whole enterprise? If we're playing just for television under these circumstances with amateur players? I mean, the whole thing seems pretty problematic to me. There's a lot of needles to thread here.
Yeah, I did notice, we've talked about this a little bit on the show, that the big programs, Alabama, Ohio State, those kinds of programs are talking about, oh, yeah, no, we're going to be there, we're going to be playing, and the stadiums may have maybe a third full, may have nobody in them. They don't know exactly for sure, but they plan on playing those games. And to your point, these are student athletes. These are not guys who are theoretically being paid. These are people. And then you think about the rest of the Big Ten just for a moment. Does Illinois really want to play? I mean, if Ohio State's playing, does Rutgers really want to play? I mean,
does Northwestern want to play?
Right. I mean, just because Ohio State says they want to play because they want to, you know, they want to be in the conversation for the national championship, doesn't mean that the rest of these universities that won't be in a conversation for even a bowl contention potentially, why would they risk the welfare of their students?
If it's not a campus experience, and if in fact in some cases the campus is closed down and it's mostly virtual learning, then what's the justifiable scenario for these, quote, student athletes to be on the campus if only to play football? Doesn't that really just expose the whole thing? And I'm not saying that in every instance. I'm not a cynic. I'm a skeptic in most cases. I know that there is value in the football experience for many of its participants, the college football. Same thing with college basketball. But in many cases, we know that it's also a sham. Wouldn't this really expose the sham aspect of it if they play just as if it's a business?
Right before we let you go,
no other reason than the business aspect.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea was about getting the education for the kids, and we've moved beyond that argument. Right. That's kind of already done. But I want to talk about baseball here for just a second, because it seemed that baseball was on the approach to getting this whole thing done. And then it just kept getting held up by more demands by the players union and then the owners and the players union and the owners. Do you think there will be baseball, and whose side are you more on?
I'm in the pox on both their houses category. And if it's 60-40 one way or another, it really doesn't make that much difference. Without getting into the particulars, there are power struggles going on, not just about 2020. 2020 is a prelude to the next collective bargaining agreement, which could, in fact, imperil the 2022 season. And there are power struggles within the Players Association. Who's going to run this? Whose voice and whose point of view is going to prevail? And while all that may be dismaying to fans because they don't want to hear more about that, at the very least, the Players Association and the owners could have said to themselves, look, we can't come to terms. We got a big headbutting coming down the road next year in preparation for 2022. But in the meantime, we've got to cobble something together in 2020. So this is like a bitter divorce where they're arguing over who gets the sofa and who gets the silverware. But meanwhile, the house is on fire. So can't they just say, wait, let's table this, put out the fire, okay? And then we know we're going to have to roll up our sleeves again for an even larger negotiation. Right. But in the meantime, we're damaging the business because the public hates this.
Yes, for sure. And if there's an opportunity, and baseball seems like the, I wouldn't say safest, I don't know what safe it's not anymore, but it seems like the least contacty of all the different sports, right? Of all that, you were talking about basketball and hockey and guys breathing on each other and sweating on each other and, you know, being face to face in combat. You don't really get that in baseball. So baseball should be the easiest of all the team sports to get across this finish line. And yet they're still screwing it up, Bob Costas. They are. Thank you so much. I always appreciate the time you spend with us. The great Bob Costas. Thank you, sir.
Happy to do it. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
You too. All right. Coming up, Dennis DeYoung joins us after the news. Top of the hour, coming your way in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.